Hello and welcome to Stripped. I'm Emma Francois.
And I'm Isabel Lord.
And we are joined today by our very special guest. She's a model in our Voice annual fashion issue.
Heck yeah,
she is. She's an expert tarot card reader. She's a fabulous singer. And do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Hannah.
Hi, Hannah.
Hi.
She's also the host of a radio show. So this isn't her first time in front of a microphone.
Yeah, I have a Georgetown radio WGTB show called I Found It at a Thrift Store, and it's on Fridays, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m.
Whoa. So while this isn't your first time in front of a microphone, I feel like it may be your first time doing a slumber party style recording, complete with a romantic candle.
Yes.
And floor pillows.
Alpine martini scented. I've never actually read that before. Alpine martini.
It smells exactly like an alpine martini. Whoever got paid a ton of money to name this candle did an excellent job.
I want their job.
This is my first time. Yeah. This is also my first time on a podcast.
Woo! Welcome. Well, you're on the best one. That's my unbiased opinion. This is the best podcast.
That's true. Well, so today, in, you know, true professional style, moving right along, today we wanted to talk about lots of the themes that are kind of undercurrent in every episode of Stripped. So we want to talk about style and fashion and identity and politics and, you know, the social implications of clothing. And hair. So, yeah.
Who better to talk to?
Do you want to talk a little bit about hair?
Yeah, I have a journey with hair. So, I had really normal hair, and then...
Define normal.
Like, it was just nothing crazy. Like, sometimes I had layers. It was always somewhere around shoulder length or a little longer. It's black. One time I did really bad side bangs when I was 13.
We've all been there.
Yeah, and then I feel like I try and find my own style in terms of clothing, but that I didn't feel like that was always enough. Mm-hmm. I was like, I feel like there's more. And then I was also, just like money-wise and effort-wise, it's like really hard to find the exact jewelry I always wanted to.
Interesting.
So then I was like, you know, what's the next frontier? And my ears were already pierced, and my parents probably would have killed me if I got, like, tattoos or something. But I was like, you know what? I can do something to my hair, and it's kind of temporary. And, yeah, and then so, like, after, I think, freshman year of college, yeah, I went home and was like, you know what? It's time. And then I just bleached half my hair, and it became purple and pink, and then the next semester it was blue, purple, and pink, and then after that it was just blue, and then it was purple and blue, and then it was red, pink, and orange.
I tried to do
a sunset look, like pink, orange, purple, blue. But the pink and orange kind of faded, so now it's more just bleach and blue.
It still looks awesome, though.
Thank you.
So, have you noticed people treat you differently based off of what color hair you
have? That's a funny question, Emma, because I think they do. I journal, like, most days. Like, or not most days anymore, but I journal a lot. And so I was really disappointed in myself. I should have thought of this. To keep, just a short journal of, like, a note every day of something that happened. Like, a little bit before and after getting my hair dyed. Because I started to notice all these differences in the way people treated me. But basically, big takeaways are that strangers feel way more comfortable talking to you because they're like, there's this random thing that is very noticeable that obviously they want to talk about it and it to be noticed because it's so bright and, like, so out there, so I'm going to talk to you about it. And then, people think it's okay to touch your hair. like, on the bus.
Oh, God.
I had a man touch my hair on the bus once. That was creepy.
Yikes.
I also think... I think specifically in the world of, like, straightness, I think men suddenly, like, don't know what to do about crazy colored hair. They're like, is this real? Like, I don't
know. Or is this just fantasy?
Bohemian Rhapsody. Yeah. I was singing it in my head. And then
Axe cultural.
And then, like, I think, yeah, people just in general feel more comfortable talking to you. But I think also that queerness is also specifically related to hair a lot of times. So, like, people talk about, like, quote-unquote queer haircuts. That being, like, girls are femme. People who get, like, really short hair or people having kind of crazy dyed hair and having a more grunge look. Mm-hmm. So that's also associated with kind of a political or, like, sexual identity, I guess.
Yeah. And do you think that hair is kind of unique in this aspect, like from clothing or accessories?
I feel like hair piercings and tattoos are kind of in their own
realm
category. Yeah, because people also talk about that too. I mean, now, you know, like nostril piercings are totally all the rage, but that was also, I think, having little like hoops and stuff in your nostril piercing, that was also something that was like a big marker for queer people as well. And then it's because it became kind of more trendy, it's, you see a lot more people just with those piercings now. And you know, a lot of second piercings or cartilage piercings, right. I think those kind of function the same way as tattoos and hair in that it's more than just like your clothes or accessories,
right? Because it does seem kind of permanent.
And
yeah it's really interesting. And Can I, like, just out of personal curiosity, can I take you back to, like, the moment when you were in, like, the hairdresser's chair and, like, telling them, like, was this something that you always wanted to do? And, like, when you, like, were about to, like, jump, like, and do it, like, what kind of made you know that that's what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I don't think it ever really occurred to me until my mom actually, hashtag she did it first. She never did anything as crazy as me. So what she did, she always kind of dyed her hair dark, because she has black hair too, but she would dye it really dark tones, like dark plum or something, so that it wasn't really noticeable, but it was more noticeable in the light.
Right.
But she did that with, like, her whole hair. But then I think around the time I decided to get my hair dyed a little bit before, she started doing little, like, streaks of, like, purple and pink and different things to be fun.
Oh, that's so fun.
I think because she was doing it and she was a very professional person that it seemed like okay to do.
Right.
And then I wanted to do it, but I kind of felt like streaks weren't quite enough. And then I didn't want to just have like blonde from bleach, because I think that, like, I think that's also fun in its own way, but that it had been done a lot already. And so then I decided I just wanted to put a bunch of colors on half of my hair. I was sitting there and I was like, there's no way I'm doing my whole head, because when the roots grow out, it's really hard to keep it up. So I was like, easy solution, just do part of it. Yeah.
Because then you can always cut it off, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you ever want to cut it off? Did you ever not like it?
No, I look really bad in, like, bobs and short hair. So if I cut it, I would have to have really short hair.
Yeah.
I look bad. But yeah, I don't know. I think my mom inspired me, and I felt it was okay, and then I just did it. And my dad was horrified when I got home.
Really?
Yeah.
So did you tell them beforehand? No.
No, it was kind of more of a, my mom and I kind of conspired and just
That's good.
My dad had no say in the matter.
Yeah. Everyone needs those moments.
Yeah, but I wasn't worried about doing it, but I also had never really, it didn't occur to me until, like, that point. Like, that one time, I was like, you know what? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't put a lot of thought into it. Yeah.
I feel like, can we talk more about hair and, like, standards of hair and professionalism?
Oh, my God.
Obviously, like, you know, there's, like, a way that women are expected to wear their hair. And I just thought it was interesting that in talking about your mom, you mentioned how she was, you know, professional.
Yeah, she's a lawyer. I mean, she has her own law practice, but I think it's also because business formal looks really different in California. There's just a lot more freedom. I never see my mom in blazers or, you know, nothing like that. Right. But I think I was definitely nervous about it in terms of professionalism. But I got my first internship at, like, the San Francisco mayor's office.
Oh, cool.
And they interviewed me in person, and I don't really think they cared. But I also had, I put my hair in a low bun.
Right.
So that, and it didn't really, so they wouldn't really see it. But then I could go to work, and they didn't realize how bright pink it was until I was, like, at work. But they all liked it and didn't mind, and they weren't paying me, so I don't think it really mattered. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not that worried about it now. I do think my dad and other people have told me, like, it's really different if you're, like, a trial lawyer and you have to be in court before a judge. That maybe that wouldn't be acceptable, but if you just work in an office that isn't necessarily, like, visible publicly, that it would be fine. But
so going forward, like, do you think this is going to be something?
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm going to keep dying it basically until I can't, until someone explicitly tells me that I can't.
Yeah.
Cause I'm trying to go to grad school, and I mean, I'm still in school. I don't really think I need to do anything about it, but also I try and hold myself to the whole, well, if that's literally the one reason someone wouldn't hire you,
right,
you're otherwise qualified, you don't want to work there anyways.
Right.
Blech.
Yeah.
So true. I feel like, yeah, it's a really interesting topic, too, this idea of hair and female hair in the workplace. Like, what you were saying, like, how, like, you're expected to look. And personally, like, you know, I just have curly hair, but you know, I think maybe I've gotten, like, a blowout. Like, it just straightened maybe, like, 3 or 4 times in my recent life. And I feel a lot more professional.
Yeah.
And it's, like, I feel like when I worked retail for a while, and I feel like when my hair is curly and, like, just frizzy and just, like, doing its own thing, it can be interpreted kind of as, like, this disheveled look, you know, because, like, my hair is all over the place. It's not, like, straight and flat and, like, streamlined and conforming.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that, and I don't know if it's accurate, but it's just how I interpret certain situations. I feel like I personally feel, like, more messy or less professional. And I feel like it's just an interesting concoction, because I'm also thinking about, like you inspire, like, these thoughts in me to, like, dye my hair like yours. It would never look as good. but it's, like, this interesting blend of, now we're in this phase in our lives, too, where we're, like, looking for real jobs. And, like, should we alter the way that we dress ourselves or present ourselves because of...
No. No, I say...
But I think that what you're talking about is curly hair also being seen as not as professional or being, like, quote-unquote messy. I think it has a lot to do with, like, white beauty standards as being undoubtedly ingrained in our, like, hierarchy of kind of, like, fashion and presentability and, like, respectability politics. I mean, like, you think of A, who has straight hair, like, basically mostly... that's coming from, like, the standard that your hair wouldn't do anything else, which is a more, like, white ideal, but also, like, skin being blemish-free, like, straight hair. There's a lot of things that, it's both, like, I think a racialized beauty standard. I mean, like, Asian people have straight hair, too, but it's also, I think it's also different, like, if you're really short, too. Like, what I've run into, too, is feeling like you need to constantly kind of try and... I mean, if you're not wearing heels or you're trying to be a bigger presence, you're not, like, the tall, slender, you know, perfectly presentable working woman who is, you know, the one woman who is seen as acceptable as, like, the female boss. Like, that's, the, like, the woman in the... Oh, my God, what is it called? Not a pantsuit, but the blazer and, like, the skirt and the pencil skirt.
Oh, the, like, matching set.
Yeah, that, yeah.
Like a pantsuit. Yeah.
But, it's partly, I think it has a lot to do with those standards, but also general American beauty standards.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to, like, how like, women have had to fit into a culture, like, a work culture designed for men, mm-hmm. you know, and, like, what type of clothing we view as powerful,
right.
and the amount of work that you put into your presentations. Like, I think for men, it's, like, you shower, you maybe shave,
right.
you yeah. comb your hair. And my, like, big thing right now is, like, how I spend my time. Like, I think there's, like, power in how I spend my time. And so, for me, there's a difference between slipping on a pair of heels that make me feel more powerful versus, like, spending half an hour blow-drying my hair mm-hmm. to yeah. fit with, like, what we've decided is powerful, which I agree has been racialized. And then, mm-hmm. like, I think to what you were saying, Isabel, like, it's because you've grown up seeing, like, in TV shows.
Right.
You know, like, yeah. Ingrained. Like, yeah. you see, like, the lawyer shows, and everyone has, like, mm-hmm. had to straighten their hairs. And, like, depending on who you are and, like, what type of hair you have, it's going to take different amount of time and a different amount of money to get that look. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think that there's a lot of, like, politics and that.
Oh, yeah. I, like, douse my hair in coconut oil and whatever, so that it stays, like, sleek. Because yeah. my hair actually isn't that, like, perfectly straight all the time. It's kind of, it gets kind of messy, too. So, mm-hmm. and it's really thick. And so when it is, like, damaged from dye, if I don't put, mm-hmm. like, all this, like, a hair mask, conditioner, like, extra oil after I shower, it'll definitely look kind of, like, drier, and it might be kind of wavy and, mm-hmm. like, look different. And I'm like, yeah, oh, that looks messy. So, like, I right. do a lot of stuff to make sure it's sleek right. as well. And it take, mm-hmm. definitely takes extra time. I mean, I think of power in time, as Emma was saying, and just think of how much time goes into personal grooming each day for yeah. me. And I always think, wow, if I just didn't wear makeup and didn't have this, like, long face routine, I would save so much time. But, I mean, you think of the working, I think of the makeup routine I would do if I was going to work, and it would be more than what I do on a normal basis. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, that is such a big time suck.
Yeah. yeah.
Like, whoever said we had to do that? And blazers yeah. are the same yeah. thing as a men's suit jacket, but just cut so that it, we're supposed to, like, accent waist. Our waist and boobs, and I'm like, yeah. that's a bunch of
and
BS.
And even then, it's a cut that isn't perfect.
For everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can never yeah. button blazers. It's like,
I have, not yeah. designed.
Yeah. If you literally, if you have boobs, just blazers are not.
Which
not
some of us in this room.
Not everyone does.
Not everyone does. But, and money. Like, yeah. you've also yeah. spent all this money on, that's my other new big thing.
Capitalism and
yeah.
beauty.
Yeah.
Because I think it's this whole market where, like, most, it's designed for women, it's marketed for women, mm-hmm. and a lot of times for white women, mm-hmm. and, like, it's run by men, like, all the CEOs and, you know, people are men. And I just think it's a way for women to spend their money. And we're in such a cool time where, like, women have more money.
Yeah.
And but I worry that, like, now we're coming up with, like, new things that we need. Like, vagina oils. And, like,
yeah.
like, a spritz for your pillow. Cryogenic.
Yeah. Therapy. Yeah.
Okay, and, like, all the crystals. Vagina washes and stuff. And yeah. I'm like, you're literally not supposed to
put
do
anything
that.
Down.
Yeah.
Oh my god! Counter to science. Yeah, yeah, so I worry. I do really worry because I think that you have a lot of power in how you, yeah. as a consumer, and yes. how you spend your money.
Well, I think the gendered notion of, like, consumerism and capitalism is very. It's fascinating. It's hierarchicalized.
Nice,
but it's.
I love it.
It's. You think of, okay, like, capitalism about being, we create the productive citizen,
right?
And it's like, is that not initially counting for gender? Then it's like, oh, when you have a gender in the mix that complicates the notion of, like, the man citizen, the reasonable man, whatever, then you have someone you can, like, market more to, but also that in their being a productive citizen, you give them different standards for that. So, like, productivity mm-hmm. becomes about more than just, like, do you go to the 9-to-5 and do you complete the labor and make the money and put money back in the economy, but then it's also, well, we can place different expectations on you, but still pretend we're including you in that economy.
Right.
And, like, that is, it, I mean, it's such a big picture macro way of seeing the way these, like, seemingly trivial things such as beauty products and, you know, women's hair and clothing in the workplace, but it's a part of the system.
Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah. It's really interesting, and I feel like, just to jump back a couple points, like, when you guys were talking about the whole idea of masculinity aligning, or, like, women aligning themselves with masculinity in the workplace in order to feel more powerful, and, like, even in terms of hair, like, I feel like the Ken of the workforce, like, the typical male is just, like, very, just, like, he's got, like, nothing on him, you know? He's just, like very Superman minimalist, slicked back, Superman face. And yeah. I feel like everything that we go through, like, my image of a powerful woman is probably a woman with, like, her hair in a low bun, you know? Mm. And, like, kind of in a blazer or something like that, and that's not how it should be. I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I also think the sexualization of that is very concerning. It's concerning that you don't, it's not just about respectability in terms of an occupation, but that it's, there's something there. There's something there about women dressing up for anything, events, work, versus men dressing up for the same things, that is inherently more sexualized, that is hashtag concerning.
Yeah. That made me think of, like, okay, I was thinking of the different reasons I would dress up for. So, like, an interview, a presentation at work, a gala, because in my imaginary life, I'm headed to galas. Like, I'm a national treasure.
Steal the Declaration of Independence.
And, like, men would wear a suit to all of those things. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, there's so many, like, within our wardrobe, then we're told there's so many, like, you need to have a cocktail dress and a black dress and an evening dress and a day dress and a summer dress and a winter dress.
And a tea party dress and a garden dress. And I feel like it's, and a part of that, too, at least for me, is influenced by the fact that I feel like what I wear will be analyzed.
Yes.
You know, it's like, why is she wearing that? Like, that's a little too sexual for this gathering or something like that.
But then if it's not sexual enough, you will also be overanalyzed.
Yes, very true.
Why do you look like a grandma making cookies?
Yeah. And it's interesting. And then I feel like it ties back to this cycle of consumerism and, like, capitalism that we were talking about where, you know, like, God forbid you wear the same dress to the same function.
Yeah, I was going to say, and if it's a wedding, you need a new dress.
But then men are like, oh, I have this suit from 1985 that I wear to And they're like, she got me a new tie once, but I didn't really need it. I have the same suit. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, going back to the idea of sexualization, I also noticed a huge difference in the way I got treated after I dyed my hair. That was, sometimes I was weirdly okay with it, but then other times I've been like, I feel watched. But it's kind of, it's weird that I think, like, sometimes, like, romantic squabbles have arisen out of someone being like, oh, I recognize you, I see you all the time, your hair, or like, or I just feel like people, because people already feel more emboldened to just talk to you, like, when you have something like dyed hair on the street, that it kind of translates also into the kind of non-traditional, at least in millennial culture, like, non-traditional thing of being like, well, I guess we should just hang out then, huh? And it's like, I'm like, where is this coming from? And I'm like, I have no clue how this...
Yeah.
And I really noticed a huge pronounced difference. I feel like, really, just the sheer number of people who would ever be really comfortable saying, oh, you know what, I've had my eye on you, you with the bright hair, but, like, I don't think that really ever happened to me before I dyed my hair.
Do you feel like you're expected to act differently? Or, like, to have, like, a certain personality because of your hair color? Or no?
I think some people think that, maybe, but I think for me personally, I never felt that, because after it happened, I felt like it was just an extension of me.
Right.
Like, it felt very, I forget, like, I have it a lot, and I never feel like, oh, it was that crazy, it's not the same as, oh, it's a crazy outfit I chose for something, but it really just felt like this is how it always should have been. Mm-hmm. Like, it mm-hmm. felt, yeah. So, I mean, I think it's different for me because specifically it made me feel more myself. Mm. Because I've always been like, oh, I'm just a little sparkly derp. But, like, I think after dying it, I felt like, well, now at least people get that, kind of get that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I'm like.
So, like, do you feel like people talk to you more because they remember you? Because that they might be think it. The color
says
looks
something.
Friendly? Or do you think it's because it's colorful and that makes you more approachable? Or do you think it's because they're associating, like,
ideas.
Hair color with a certain, like, set of ideas or groups? Yeah, person. I don't know.
I definitely think that's a big thing, that those remembering you. Because you know how many people we pass in a day and we're like, oh, like, look at them. They look lovely, but you don't.
Yeah. It's like, I think that's the person that I see at the coffee.
I think that makes me easily, like, identifiable, first of all. But then, I do think that assumption of, like, I can talk to this person even though I don't know them that well, because clearly they must, like, kind of want to be talked to if they're, like, smiling mm-hmm. and have brightly colored hair. Mm-hmm. But I think what I've found is that I think it gets attached to my, like, womanhood, but Asian womanhood. I think that is a big link that creates a lot of those dynamics, because I know a lot of, like, there's a lot of people who have their hair kind of dyed similarly in the same, like, oh, half your hair, like, the bottom half or something, or, like, mm-hmm. dip-dyed tips and, like, or streaks or something. But I feel like somehow because my hair's black and that the color and the bleach is so light, it's, like, such a big contrast. And then also, I don't know. I mean, I've definitely gotten this a lot before. They're like, oh, you're so different looking. And, you know, I don't think that necessarily always happens to, like, I see some, you know, blonde girls who also have dyed hair, but the color doesn't look as striking or anything mm-hmm. because their hair was already blonde. There's no big contrast in that. So it doesn't become this, like, oh, my God, like, this crazy thing. And I think the ideas that get associated with, like, women of color and Asian women get kind of exacerbated or not, or, like, contradicted, but in kind of weird ways with that sometimes. Mm-hmm. So the whole exotic trope.
Yeah.
Like, I never had someone actually physically say that to me until I had colored hair.
Really?
So, yeah. And I think that, so I think that's something, you know, everything has its, like, roses and thorns, whatever.
Right.
And I think that's definitely been a thorn that I think I was already aware of all those things before, but I didn't really have to deal with it in my interpersonal life because mm-hmm. I just didn't really have that many people, like, approaching me in problematic ways.
Yeah.
Whereas that was, like, a big shift that I noticed. Yeah.
Mm. And do you feel like that comes more from, like, men or women or, like, any group in particular?
I just feel like the only people who've really perpetuated it in a really bad way have been men. Surprise, surprise.
Curious.
Yeah, I think women are more, when I've been, like, interested in women or we are, you know, like, questionably platonic or whatever, that a lot of the queer women that I know also have, like, really big fashion statements or things that they do themselves, and they just have a bigger understanding of, like, your style is part of you, but also doesn't necessarily define anything about who you really are, like, and I think they just understand that more because they have, like, their own too, and that, like, the likelihood of their hair also being dyed or them also having a bunch of piercings is very high, so.
Right. It's almost more relatable or something and less othering. Like,
And I mean, I think a thing that between women that's always true too is women will always find a way to bond over all the messed up things men have been saying to them. Because, surprise, surprise!
Sure happens.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, I think it's more about patriarchy placing a lot of assumptions on women based on all their outward looks. And, I mean, we do that to everyone we meet. But,
Yeah.
I think only with women is it that it comes from a place of this person almost isn't a real person, 100% a person, as much as I am. But they're this thing that I'm, like, you know, ogling at and analyzing right. how it looks. And, yeah, I mean, no one does.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like it's interesting to me, too, that you kind of align, because I agree, like, align this, like, hair dyeing with piercings and tattoos, mm-hmm. and personally, like, I feel like those are all three things that I want to do to my body, but my hesitation has always been kind of influenced by this sense of the patriarchy, you know, my hesitation is, like, how I will be interpreted or, like, read by others, which shouldn't be the case, but is the case. And it's this interesting thing of, like, you know, how can you kind of, like, fight that? But it's just, like, I just gotta do it.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to also share, I've been looking for a way to insert this in the conversation, and it's never even remotely come up, but, so I'm just going to throw it in now as we near our end. You sent me a link of, like, I think it was, like, women dyeing their hair to match LaCroix.
Yeah!
I can't remember if it's LaCroix or LaCroix, but anyway. The water.
Yeah.
Sparkling. I drink it every day. I should really know how to pronounce it.
I know.
I just feel like I really shed my cards. dyeing the hair to look like those cans. And I just wanted to throw that in there.
That's all?
I'm unfamiliar with the article, but was that, like, was that, like, in direct association with LaCroix or LaCroix? Whatever.
No.
LaCroix. No, it's just, like, this new trend.
It was one of those, like,
was it people dyeing their hair?
Yeah, it was one of those, like BuzzFeed-esque videos where it's, like, little dinky music and some captions and little video clips. And it was just, like, now people are starting to dye their hair like this sparkling water can because it's fun. And, like, it was just one lady.
Yeah, it was just one
It was
lady.
Literally one lady. And she was just dyeing it. It was, like, pink and greenish kind of watermelon-y.
I think it was, like, the watermelon pear or something like that.
Oh, it was a fun video.
Yeah.
I found that while perusing Facebook, so, people can look for that.
It's a good place to draw inspiration.
Yeah.
From your water. I would do it.
Well, thank you so much for your generosity of time and energy.
And being an inspiration.
Yeah. Daily inspiration.
Wow. Y'all inspire me.
And just, like, letting us ask you all these questions.
I know.
Yeah.
Thank you for being our window to the hair dyeing world.
Yeah. Thanks for having a podcast seance with me.
Oh, thank you. And thanks to Alpine Martini. And also, thanks to Ben Sound for the music. And please follow us on Twitter at G-Town Voice, at Halftime GU. And as you know, you can find us on www.georgetownvoice.com or on iTunes by subscribing to the Voice Podcast Network.
I love how you said www. Like you were a 16-year-old woman from the 90s.
As I was reading it, I was like, this is abnormal. This sounds weird on my tongue.
More innovative.